Well, you know, in our continued study of the book of Revelation, we've arrived at chapters 17 and 18. And these are perhaps two of the most difficult chapters in order to give us a perspective as to what's happening sometime in the future. Now, as we all know, there is a prophesied event that is going to take place in this world. It has not taken place yet. It is going to take place, and it is going to dramatically affect the world. It's going to affect every believer, of course, and believer in Jesus, and it's going to affect everybody in this world. That event is known as the rapture. Now, from the human standpoint, this seems absolutely impossible, absolutely preposterous, that there would be an event whereby God would call, send out the signal, Jesus would come partway back to earth, to the clouds in the air, call his church, his bride, to go up to be with him. When we think about it, it is absolutely staggering and beyond human imagination. But the truth of the matter is, it is going to happen. We don't know precisely when. We all need to be ready for that event when it is going to happen. And as I said, it's going to be profoundly effective upon every believer in Jesus Christ, because in a twinkling of an eye, we will be here and then we will be there with Jesus, something we have dreamed for. There are people that I know in this congregation who are longing for the rapture to occur, and to occur as quickly as possible. It is an event to which Christians are looking forward. However, for the world, it is not an event that they are looking for. The world doesn't even know it's going to happen. But for every true believer, this is the blessed hope that we have, being with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Praise be to God. Now, in order to give us a little bit of an overview as to where we are, if we could show slide number one, please. Slide number one we have shared with you before, and it's going to give us an idea as to where we are now. If you look at this, we are on the left-hand side. We are in the church age, the 2,000 years plus. Church age began at Pentecost, and it's going to end at the rapture. Now, at the rapture, there's an arrow that goes up, and then when we look at that arrow, that is the rapture, and then the tribulation. And you'll notice in the tribulation, just below that, it's approximately 7 years in length. There's the lesser tribulation, the greater tribulation, and the mid-tribulation. Notice it's going to last approximately 7 years. Then at the end of that, at the end of the 7 years, the battle of Armageddon appears. It will happen on this earth. And then immediately following that, Jesus, that's what the arrow is, Jesus is coming back and he's establishing his 1,000-year reign on this earth, reigning from Jerusalem, which will become a great surprise to the people throughout the world. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, we branch out into eternity. Now, slide number two emphasizes another spot in this, and it emphasizes the tribulation period. So on that, you see the tribulation period. There are the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. And those sort of lightning strikes that are there indicate the various judgments that are going to take place on the unbelieving world. Remember, the church is out of here. The bride of Christ is with Jesus. He is our bridegroom. We are his bride. We're going to be with him. And then during the tribulation, those particular judgments are going to occur on those who are left behind here on earth. Now think about it for a moment. Every aspect of everything that we do here on earth is going to be dramatically affected by the rapture. Just think of it. All of the Christians leaving the earth. Families are never going to be the same. When we think about it, leadership, we will be void of a great deal of leadership. We'll be void in the education field, in the medical field, finances, business, industry. Most of the churches will be completely empty. Some will not be, but most will be completely empty. Families will be devastated. Armies and police and security will all be wondering what's happening. Many of their people have gone, suddenly vanished. The world will try and come up with a reason as to why this will happen. Some have even speculated the world will be thinking that it was some sort of an alien invasion. Well, it doesn't matter what they think. We know what the story is. We'll be with Jesus at that point. However, when all of this happens, the devastation that's going to occur, the chaos that's going to result when the church gets out of here, leaves this earth, there's going to be a great void. And in that void, two world leaders are going to step in. There's going to be a political leader, and there's going to be a spiritual leader, and they will be world leaders. The true church is gone. These two leaders will take control of everyone here on earth. They won't take control overnight, but it'll be a few overnights, and they'll take control, and people will get to the point of having to bow down, so to speak, to them. The political leader, or the world dictator, is known as the Antichrist. The spiritual leader is known as the false prophet. And when we think about those two words, those two titles, Antichrist and the false prophet, Antichrist, this person, this world leader, is going to be anti-everything that Jesus Christ stands for. He's going to be against, and he's going to be in place of. And people are going to be fooled into thinking that he is the God. He is not. He is the Antichrist. And the world religious leader is the false prophet. Interesting that during that time, while the false prophet is here, there is going to be a religious system. And that religious system, according to the words of Scripture, is referred to as a prostitute. This seems to be very hard words. But why would the word prostitute be used? It's being used because the true bride of Christ is the Church of Jesus Christ. Anyone else who pretends to be part of the Godhead is false, is like a prostitute. The true bride of Christ is the Church of Jesus Christ. You and I, if we've given our lives to Jesus, if he is within us by the power of his Holy Spirit, we are, in a way that I don't fully understand, we are the bride of Christ. And when he calls, we are going to be with him. Praise be to God. Now, this religious system, we talked about it the last time I preached. Let's take a look at Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 to 6. Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 to 6. Let us hear the word of God. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, now those were the seven bowl judgments at the end of the tribulation, who had the seven bowls, came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. With her the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries." These are strong words. "Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a desert. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast and was covered with blasphemous names, and had seven heads and ten horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. This title was written on her forehead: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus." This is the word of the Lord. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't finish it. "When I saw her, I was greatly astonished." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, startling words, really. And I'd like you to, Nadine, if you'd show the third slide, please. Nobody knows exactly what this prostitute woman, this representative of the world, the then world's religious system, looks like. John would have known, but he didn't take a photograph or draw it. But some modern artists, many of them, have tried to put on canvas what this person would look like. There's a beast, there's 10 horns, X number of horns, I forget now, and 10 heads, whatever it is. And when we look at it, this woman, you can't see it all completely, but she has a cup in her hand, and she's dressed in purple and in scarlet, and the beast is in scarlet. We'll talk more about the beast at another time, but this morning we're withholding any comments there and just talking about this woman. You can take that slide off now. Thank you. Now, previously we talked about seven aspects of this prostitute, this woman, this religious system. We dealt with five of them. This morning we'll look at the next two. However, what do we know? We know this. She is a great prostitute. It's an absolute false religion. Whatever religion there is, use the word loosely, religion on earth, that does not acknowledge Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord is a false religion. We need to keep that in mind. These are the words of Jesus. They're not made up by me or someone else. They are our Savior's words. Secondly, she is going to be punished. This religious system is not going to get away with teaching falsehood. At some point, it is going to be punished. Number three, she controls many people. That's what the words, who sits on many waters, means. This religious system has control over a great many people. When you and I think about it today, there are a number of religious systems throughout the world that have absolute control over millions of people, and they are not believers in Jesus Christ. So this religious system is present with us even today. Number four, she persuades, very persuasive for the kings, meaning the leaders of this earth. World leaders have fallen under this system, under this false system. And number five, she's invaded the population. That's what the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with her wine means. This person is a vile person, but it's not a person, it's a system. It is a religious system that is against God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They may disguise themselves in some other way, but that isn't the truth. So this morning we're going to look at two final titles. Number six in this series is, her titles are profoundly negative. What are some of these titles? Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes, and of the abominations of the earth. We need to keep in mind that God the Father had and has a very special relationship with Israel, both the people of Israel and the nation of Israel. They were and are his chosen people. They have moved with him and against him all down through their history. The heart of God must have been torn in two every time individuals or the people of Israel strayed away from him. We know this from Old Testament passages. For example, Isaiah lamented over Jerusalem becoming a harlot. That's in the first chapter of the book of Isaiah. Then as Ezekiel chastised Israel for committing adultery against God. Religious systems that were against God. Nahum, the prophet, pronounced judgment on Nineveh because of the charming harlot, the mistress of witchcraft, which deceived them. Isaiah, again, called the ancient city of Tyre a harlot. James, the half-brother of Jesus, spoke of spiritual prostitution. Listen to his words. These are words of the New Testament. You adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world system is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, desires to remain a friend of the world system is an enemy to God. What is this world system? There's a world political system. There is a world religious system or spiritual system. But believe me, what happens is this, that their attitude is to exclude God from every situation. It was reported just this last week, a few days ago, that one congressman in the United States says God has no place in this Congress. This is blasphemous when we stop to think about it. And this is what was said. People are moving away from what God would stand for. It's happening in our own country. It's happening in our community. Pray God that it doesn't happen to you and to me. Think about what's happening in Canada and other countries, right in the face of God, against what he stands for. Abortion is against the sacredness of life as determined by God. We know this. It's amazed me that during this pandemic, many of the abortion clinics were set up as being an essential service. I can hardly believe it. But that's exactly what happened. It's an attitude against God and what he stands for. The same-sex agenda is against God's plan of procreation and of one man and one woman for a lifetime. The condemning of the Judeo-Christian ethos that we've lived on in North America for many years is now going down the drain, so to speak. All of this is anti-God. Remember this, that when the rapture occurs, every true believer in Jesus Christ, we are betrothed to him. He is the bridegroom. We are the bride, and we are going to be up with him forever. Exactly what kind of world religious system is this going to be? I don't know, but we get some hints even today as we look at various religious systems on the earth. Think of these words. We find them in Romans. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, think about your own situation. I'm not finished reading those verses yet, but let me go back over that verse. This is what's important for you and for me. If you and I confess with your mouth, I'm going to personalize it. If I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I will be saved. I am saved. Praise be to God. Then the scripture says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. I pray that everyone who's here today has been able to say with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And if that's the case, you will be saved. You are saved. Praise be to God. Now, when we think of the many religions across this world, I use the word religion loosely. Religion, you've heard the expression or the definition before, is man reaching up to God, God of some nature, God of their description often. But Christianity is God reaching down to man. And that's the difference. That's why I use the word religion loosely. But when we talk about the world religions, whether they know it or not, they are committing spiritual adultery if they are not believers in and followers of Jesus. These seem to be very harsh words, but that's the case. For example, you might say to me, well, what about religions like Buddhism and Islam and Hinduism and liberal Christianity and atheism and the cults? What's the story for them? They are committing spiritual adultery. They are following a false god. And further, if there are any organizations or fraternities or orders that demand allegiance, especially if they cannot identify with Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, then they are a false religion. And they are prostitutes in the mind of God, leading people astray, not leading them toward putting all their trust in Jesus, our Savior and our Redeemer. Now remember, during this time of the tribulation, some will become believers, praise be to God, but it's going to be very difficult for them. But the majority of people on earth during the tribulation will come under the control, all will come under the control of the world dictator and of the world's spiritual leader called a false prophet. This religious system, remember the words that are applied to this prostitute, this religious system? Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of abominations of the earth. Why, you might ask, were the words mystery Babylon the Great used? Well, perhaps we'd understand this a little bit more when we think about what's going on in the earth, when we think on earth, what we think about what's happened down through the ages, and we need to go all the way back to the establishment of the Tower of Babel, sometimes called Babel. Anyway, when we think about it, first of all, there are many abominations taking place on this earth, abominations that are disgusting and loathing and hateful. Now, Babylon. One thing to keep in mind, if you're ever studying Scripture on your own, it's called the first word occurrence. That's what I believe it's called. And when you see the word appearing the first time, then you look at where it appears other times throughout Scripture. And we look back to the word Babylon or Babel. And historic drama began in the plains of Shinar, today's Iraq. The first world dictator established the first religious center there. The dictator's name was Nimrod. Being translated, that means we will revolt. The beginning of this kingdom was at the Tower of Babel or Babylon. Now, if you could show that fourth slide, please. Again, no one was present to see the building. They were present, but nobody took a picture or did a drawing of the Tower of Babel. We really don't know what it looks like. But archaeologists tell us that this is probably something that it looked like. And they wanted to build to reach the heavens. But we need to understand that word. It didn't really mean to build, to get up to where the moon and the sun and the stars are. That would have been absolutely humanly impossible. But even in the book of Deuteronomy, when the children of Israel were ready to go into the promised land, they said there were giants there and there were walls as high as heaven. Well, not as high as the stars and the moon and the sun, but rather the Tower of Babel was constructed so they could get to the top and observe the stars and the moon and the sun more fully, because they were relying upon astrology to guide them rather than relying upon God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the Tower of Babel may or may not have looked like that, but it's reaching the heavens. And we read this. Isaiah said, "She, Babylon, has labored with sorceries and astrology from her youth." Thank you, Darlene. You can take that down. Of course, we're in danger today of people putting their trust in astrology or putting their trust in witchcraft. And it's something that we need to be very, very careful of. We remember it is the Word of God from where we receive our instruction on how to live, how to worship. There are many false advisors out there, and they will be leading us astray. Do you remember even back in the 7th century before Christ, Daniel was in Babylon. And when he was there, the king had a dream, and he asked for all of his astrologers to come and tell him what the dream meant and what it was and what it meant. And they couldn't do so. Only Daniel was able to do so. And he was able to do so because he was not part of this prostitute religion. He was a follower of the true God. And he prayed, and God gave him the dream and the interpretation of the dream. There are people today who are being led astray by witchcraft, being led astray by things which are absolutely and completely false. The same occultic practices that were in the Old Testament, influenced by pagan religions, are around this world today. They've not been eradicated. They're still here. This includes so-called black magic and demon contact and seances and miraculous materializations and witchcraft, astrology, and sorcery. And some of these practices, believe it or not, are well hidden in some religious experiences. And it is something that you and I, as believers in Christ, need to stay away from. The titles to this woman, this religious system, certainly are profoundly negative. And then we look at one more description of this person. Her demeanor, world religion, I said, is pie-eyed or plastered. In other words, she was drunk. But not drunk from alcohol. What does the scripture say? Was drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. Anyone who stands up for Jesus is subject to ridicule, subject to elimination, subject to whatever we can think of by the world system. They want to get rid of Christianity. They want to get rid of Christians. They want to get rid of anything that stands for what the Lord stands for. When a person is drunk from alcohol, it means that alcohol has taken over all their sense of reason, their ability to think clearly, the ability to control their body. The alcohol is in control of the drunk. He or she cannot overrule what alcohol is doing to them. Now, alcohol has become his or her master. But in this case, the religious system is not drunk with wine or alcohol. It is drunk with the blood of the saints, spilling of the blood of believers in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's an obsession that people have against the true religion. The false religion is against the true religion. Here's what Isaiah the prophet said. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now, when we look at those words, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Think about what's going on in our society today. Things that 50 years ago was absolutely clear. It was evil. But today, it looks like it's good. And Isaiah said, woe to those who call evil good and good, evil. You and I must be cautious to know what is right. Where do we get our instruction? From God's word. That's what's so vital. Now, friends, the rapture is coming. Are you ready to be caught up with Jesus forever? That's my personal question to you. Following the rapture will be the emergence of a world dictator and a world spiritual leader. At some point following their emergence, an agreement will be signed by the world dictator with the land of Israel, promising them 7 years of peace. But in the middle of that, this false leader is going to break the covenant. Now, during this time, there will be believers, but most people will be absolutely unbelievers. Believers will, when we think of it, believers who've gone up to be with the Lord, and we think of it that way, believers and unbelievers, believers have gone up in the rapture, unbelievers are left behind. Believers will be experiencing an unparalleled experience with Jesus in glory, absolutely magnificent. Unbelievers will be going through untold discord, discomfort, and disaster. All of this will be happening. They'll be following whom? The world religious leader, the false prophet. They'll be following what? The world dictator. They will be following the wrong ones. They need to turn their lives over, even then, to Jesus. Believers will be experiencing what it's like to be with our King. Unbelievers will be experiencing what it's like to come under the control of a false political system and a false religious system. We've discovered this. This false religious system is like a harlot, like a prostitute to the true belief in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This false world religious system. There are religious systems today that, whether they know it or not, are falling into this description. They are false now, they will be false then. And in your mind's eye, you might wonder, is there any one particular person who will automatically become the world dictator or the false prophet? I don't know. If the rapture is as close as I think it is, these people are alive, active, and well today on earth. And they are just standing in the wings on the stage, getting ready for their grand performance, getting ready to take over when the rapture occurs and there's complete chaos. But you and I, have you placed your trust in Jesus? Do you know those verses in Romans 10, verse 9 and verse 10? That if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we are part of the believers. We will be caught up in the rapture. We will be with him. And I heard one lonely amen. Can I hear a louder one? Amen, and praise be to God. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, you know the desire of my heart and the desire of leaders of this church, the desire in our hearts is that every person who enters these doors on any occasion, on every occasion, will put all of their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. We pray that they will hear the gospel message, and not only that they will hear, but that they will respond, and they will admit that they're a sinner in the need of a Savior, and Jesus is the only one who could be their Savior. And at a precise moment in time, Lord Jesus, they will invite you into their life. They will put all of their trust in you as Savior and as Lord. And we will all be part of the rapture of the church. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.